Hey everyone, how you doing? This is Amon Green, the Green Bay Packers all-time leading rusher, and you're listening to The Average Cheese, hosted by Dell and Todd, two lifelong Packer fans talking about their favorite team, the 13-time champion Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go!
The snow glows white in Lambeau tonight, not a footprint to be seen. We need some new coordination for our boys in gold and green. Rumors were swirling when it started to be a trend. Then we lost to Tommy DeVito and his little agent friend. Baker Mayfield, don't let them see your passer rating, 158.3. Don't let them run, don't let them throw. Our defense blows.
Fire Joe, can't do this crap anymore. Fire Joe, send him out and slam the door. I don't care what LeFleur will say. Why drag this on? It's gonna happen in 3 weeks anyway.
So welcome to episode 156 of the Average Cheese Podcast. It's the whole family for episode 156. Thanks to Rhonda and the folks at R&M Management. Thanks to Dwight at ddgcustoms.com. And thanks to Dan and the folks at Bob Anderson Builders. Peter, will we do a 56?
No, I think we're not going to do 56. That's because when we did episode 56, we kind of talked about Nick Barnett and Ted Hendricks in that episode. And actually, Ted Hendricks, as 1974 season, is worth a whole episode by itself. So we'll do that
sometime. Leave it for its own Ted Hendricks episode?
Yeah.
I like that. The current 56 is that international player. I don't even know how to say his name. All right, the Packers play the Bears in week 18. It could not be a bigger game, playoff bound or not. Let's start with the Packers-Bears history. We played this team many, many times over the last 102-ish years. Go ahead.
Yeah, 208 times, which is the most that any two teams have met in NFL history, which is kind of what we would expect. And the Packers are ahead in the series 107-95-6. And perhaps more importantly, they lead the series 40-24, which is a 62.5% winning percentage at Lambeau Field. And it's an odd series because the Bears were ahead in this series for about 95 of the 102 years. Packers briefly took a lead in 1931 and 32, then didn't jump back into the lead until 2017. And going back to 1992, just as the Holmgren-Favre era started, the Bears led the series by 24 games.
Wow.
I think they're only playing two games a season and you've got to win both of those games to reduce that deficit. It goes to show what happened in the Favre and then Rodgers era for the Packers to get ahead. Packers have won 9 straight now in the series, which is one short of the longest winning streak the Packers have had, which was from 94 to 98. So they're going to equal that this coming weekend when they win the 10th straight. And of course, the Packers surpassed the Bears last season by beating the Bears last season for most wins by any franchise in NFL history. Goes without saying, probably the two most storied franchises in NFL history. Packers 13 championships to the Bears 9. Packers 33 Hall of Famers to the Bears 34. There's quite a few players, but there's at least 18 players that have played for both teams during that 102 years of history.
I think we will surpass them in Hall of Famers. We'll at least tie them, right? Aaron Rodgers will go into the Hall of Fame as a Packer. Are there any Bears that are coming up?
I guess Devin Hester would be the one that the recent years that would jump to mind that probably ought to be in, to be fair.
Oh, yeah.
The Packers will have, say, Aaron Rodgers will go in, and there are a number of seniors, certainly from the Packers, that ought to be in as well.
Their coaching staff / executives. Ryan Poles is their GM. You don't have to grade Ryan Poles, the GM, but do you think he's doing a decent job in Chicago? I know you're not a Bears fan, but
it's hard for me to be objective.
Try your best.
Due to my hatred. I was just thinking about it, like you going to the game this weekend, and I'm like, whenever I think of like going to Lambeau and seeing, if I had free tickets to go to the Bears, I'd kind of go, I don't know if, like, I would have to mentally prepare myself. I'm being serious. I might even give them away. I'd just be so mental. Bears being at Lambeau, I don't know if I could handle it. That said, they're still a mess. It seems like either players come there to die, you know, like veterans, and they can't handle the draft picks. And they've made some crazy bad decisions during the draft in the past couple of years. They're a mess. So I don't think the guy will probably stick around much longer.
Well, if they don't fix things, right, they're going to have to do something.
Well, different. He's going to say, well, we're going to get the first pick in the draft and watch what I can do after that. So they'll probably keep him around.
Right. Peter, if the Bears drafted Caleb Williams, whether you agree with that as the first pick or not, because he's sort of the consensus one guy, would that be a positive for you with Ryan Poles or a negative? What are your thoughts on drafting another quarterback if you're the Chicago Bears?
I think it's about, and this, I'm going to sit on the fence with the answer because we're not a party to the discussions that he may have with other teams as to what compensation he could get for that first pick. And that, for me, would probably be the deciding factor. Right, I believe, surrounded by the right weapons, that the Bears can win with Justin Fields. I do believe that. The difficulty they have, this is like his third year, so eventually they're going to have to decide, are they going to pay the option? Mm-hmm. Are they going to extend him, et cetera, which means, you know, you've got all your eggs in that basket. I'm not sure, actually. I think they'll probably draft Caleb Williams with that number one pick on the basis of, I think that's the less controversial thing to do. I'm not sure that's what I would do. If I could trade that pick away for a two or three number ones, a number one next year, I'm going to perennially be in the situation of having multiple number ones, probably high, for the next few years. And that's what I would do. And I'd ride the Justin Fields train because I believe that they can win with Justin Fields if they surround him with the right weapon. And the right weapons includes stability in the offense that he's running as well.
I don't like Caleb Williams, one. I don't think he's going to be the elite player that many think he's going to be. I also agree with, it's time for you to be consistent with your franchise. Shit franchises continue to turn themselves over and never get to a point where they can actually, for lack of a better term, be consistent and do things in a consistent way. Now, again, the Packers have hit on quarterbacks three in a row. That's rare. I get that. But the way the Packers do it, I think, is almost as important as the guy they landed on with Jordan Love. You pick a quarterback when you don't need a quarterback, because when you need him, you fucking suck as a franchise and your team is terrible. Your offensive line is probably terrible. Your skill player talent is terrible. You are a bad team. You are bringing a possibly elite player into a position where they can't possibly win games.
You're absolutely right. And that's why the percentage of quarterbacks that go number one overall that develop into really good NFL quarterbacks or even Hall of Fame quarterbacks is not great, because by definition, they're going to probably the worst team in football.
And what is the number one pick worth? Start looking at, like, how many seconds, how many firsts, how many. If Ryan Poles is smart, in my mind, he trades out of that one spot with a team that needs Caleb Williams, even if he picks up a second or a third, you are building your team for the future. Even if you don't think that Justin Fields is the guy and you're going to just play him through his five-year contract with that extra year, you go get a pedestrian quarterback. Look what Joe Flacco's doing.
All right, and the other thing you have to consider is, how far down do you trade that pick? So say somebody's sitting at number four, offers you a whole bunch of stuff to trade down three spots. If you really still want a quarterback, you can go and get Michael Penix if you want to.
And develop
Marvin Harrison time. Marvin Harrison might be there at number four. It makes a lot of sense to trade down. I think there'll be a fan clamoring, if you like, for them to take Caleb Williams, and that might push them down that route.
Let's hope they do. If your front office is listening to your fan base about who you should select in the draft, then the Bears will always suck. We'll always be looking down at them in the standings. Now, I know what we just said about being consistent, or what I just said about being consistent, but then it goes to the next guy on the list. That's their head coach, Matt Eberflus, who has taken a lot of grief. Less grief when they're winning. Is he the guy? I'm not asking this question. It's a rhetorical question. Is he the guy to lead them through this all? Is Luke Getsy, their offensive coordinator, the guy to lead this team offensively to wins? Todd, what are your thoughts on Luke Getsy, former Packers coach?
How long has he been there? Only one year? This is his only second year? I don't know. I feel like, you know, if you have somebody like a Justin Fields and you haven't really pushed the offense any further forward than the other previous years, and you've had 2 years to do that, I don't know. I don't know that they're a a match made in heaven. Because ultimately, I think it goes back to the player, really. And if they get rid of him, maybe Getsy retains his job.
Who cares about the rest of these coaches? We talked far too long about their staff. Packers that were with the Bears. There are no current Packers who are with the Bears. Of course there aren't. That's a shit franchise. We don't want guys from them. Why would we want their players?
I thought somebody might have snuck in the back door somewhere.
Corey Ballantyne probably played with the Bears at some point. No, Peter, he didn't. I'm just going to say that every week. Via the Packers media guy, Greg Williams, passing game coordinator on the defensive side, was a player with the Bears in camp in 1998. Nice. I like that. Luke Butkus clearly has ties to the Bears organization. Just that name alone, he should really be a Bears coach of some kind. John Dunn, the Packers tight end coach, was an offensive assistant with the Bears. And he's developing two really good tight ends. So thank you, John. Your time in Chicago was well spent. There are, of course, Bears that were with the Packers because, as Todd said before, we flush guys down the toilet into the state of Illinois. Bob Tonyan.
Early and often.
Mercedes Lewis. And EQ St. Brown and Luke Getsy. Those four were in the Packer organization, now Bears. Lucas Patrick was with the Bears last year, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's with the Bears now, so he's missed off the list.
Oh,
yeah.
So there's more guys, five guys that have Bears or Packer ties that are now in the Bears. Bob Tonyan has not done jack shit. Now, nope. I know that they have Cole Kmet, who is a pretty good tight end. I'd say he's above average. And Mercedes Lewis is not a pass catcher. He wasn't a pass catcher in Green Bay. At 400 years old, he's not going to be a pass catcher in Chicago either. He's there to block. EQ St. Brown hasn't been even active for most of the games.
He made my shit list. He is the only player on that list that made my shit list.
You better stop.
Give him some
accolades.
Yes.
And again, is it accolades if he makes the shit list? That's kind of like backwards, yes. Right? Like
it should be every time you type his name, should be in parentheses, Todd's shit list.
Is this going to turn out to be TSL. An annual, we'll just annual call thing TSL. Like the All Madden team?
It's What's the all Todd team? The All Todd shit list?
Is it seasonal or is it all time?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Well, you started with the all-time team, but then you'll have a seasonal team. Like you'll have one of the networks wanting to reveal it for years.
Once I quit my real job, maybe.
Former Badgers on the Bears roster, both linebackers. TJ Edwards, who has played very well for the Bears this year. And Jack Sanborn isn't bad either. Both really good players for the Bears right now. Two guys that I will hope have great games while the Packers are just stomping a mud hole in Chicago this week. Peter, let's super quickly go through the draft. Your favorite Bears draft pick from 2023?
That's my favorite player on the list. And the player I think, and you and I have talked about this guy before, is the running back Rashawn Johnson out of Texas. And we both liked him. And he obviously played behind Bijan Robinson at Texas, so didn't get all of the carries and whatever, but was a very productive running back at Texas. And fourth round pick for the Bears, I thought was a nice pick at that spot. And I thought the Bears draft generally was really solid. So they drafted seven players who are in my top 105 on my board. I thought it was a really solid draft. Darnell Wright's played well at right tackle for them this year. So yeah, a nice draft topped off by getting the extra draft picks for trading down from the number one spot. So yeah. Yeah, okay.
What are your thoughts on Jervon Dexter? Not how is he done this year, but before he had come out, I thought he was early. You know, I'm not the draft guy. Do you have any thoughts on him?
And I thought he was a guy that would interest the Packers, right? Because I thought he was going to be that big 3-4 type defensive end. So I thought he was a guy that could fit the Packers as a really good run defender, and a guy that didn't have a lots of sacks and stuff in college, but was an improving pass rusher. And I thought he was going to be pretty good. And maybe, you know, this is his rookie season and he's going to be next year's his year. I mean, I thought it would have been a good pick for the Packers in about round three.
Okay. The Bears so far are 7-9. Their record is much better than I expected, to be honest. After the Packers just beat the brakes off them in week one, I thought this is all going to go south for them. And they're going to have a very, very bad season. But here they are. Now, granted, they beat the Cardinals and the Falcons, but the Cardinals just played really well last week, so who knows? But they beat two pretty good teams lately. They started the season off with four losses, so they are winning games. Are they coming around, Todd, in your mind? Or is this just, you know, you just blew your draft pick. You should have kept losing like you normally do. What are your thoughts on the Bears?
I think so. They're eliminated. Are they winning games sporadically? Yeah. I don't know. Do I think, remember Detroit had no shot in the playoffs here, but they kind of had this like momentum towards the end, and Dan Campbell's like rallying them to the like to, and they had nothing to play for, but they were like finishing the season like on fire. And do I get the same feeling from the Bears? No.
Their defense has really come on since they acquired Montez Sweat. They're a better team
a
now.
Yeah,
he is. The Bears had capital, right? Both money and draft capital, and they went out and got Montez Sweat. That feels like a move for the future. We do think we are going in the right direction. I like that guy as a player. Peter, this is eerily similar to last year. The Lions out of the playoffs last year came in and smashed the Packers in the mouth. While this might not be the same team, like Todd was just saying, this isn't the same team as the Lions from last year, but this is the same mentality. Fuck the Packers. We're going to knock these fools out of the playoffs.
Exactly that. It is eerily similar. I think the difference is that Detroit was an offensive juggernaut. I think the Bears are the opposite. The Bears are a team that can run the football and stop the run. Their passing numbers are not good, and their defensive passing numbers are not good. So this is not the same type of team, but the situation is eerily similar. Last game of the season, I mean, if the roles were reversed, we'd want nothing more than the Packers to knock the Bears out of the playoffs. And I think the Bears will come in with that absolute mentality, having won four of their last five games, including wins over the Falcons, who would be in playoff contention, was actually still in playoff contention, wins over the Lions. In fact, they nearly beat the Lions before that as well, beat the Vikings. I think the Bears are playing pretty good football right now, the best football of the season. The
missing ingredient to that comparison is that the Lions were bought into their coach and the system and everything that was going on around them. I don't get the same feeling with the Bears. And it comes down to the coach. There's no way you can say Eberflus is anywhere near the type of motivator that a Dan Campbell is. They're not even in the same class. Nowhere near. So for me, the circumstances are similar and the seasons look similar. There's no comparison when it comes to that. And that's going to be the difference in this game.
And the key might be, just like it's been in games previous, we need to go out there and score early. And maybe they'll start thinking about their vacation plans. You go up 14-0. It's cold. Packer fans are starting to ride everybody. And the, you know, maybe the wheels fall off. They need to start. I mean, we'll talk about that in a second, but they need to start fast.
And that is what you have to do with teams like, you know, you want to do it every week, but particularly at the end of the season where teams may just bail it in. If they get behind early. So yeah, totally agree.
On the offensive side of the ball, DJ Moore, really good wide receiver. Khalil Herbert's pretty good at running back. Justin Fields is who he is. He could really caused Packers problems like he's done in the past with his legs. Cole Kmet's pretty good at the tight end spot. They've got some skill position talent. They're not devoid of it. Darnell Mooney fucked my fantasy team. I drafted that guy way too early this year. He's terrible. He's 106th out of 125 wide receivers in PFF. On the other side is Tyler Scott, who is 116th out of 125. So the Packers will be loading up on one side, right? They do the Justin Jefferson thing. Whatever they did last week, they need to do that to DJ Moore and bracket him or whatever and take him out of the play. I'll just say this about Justin Fields. He does scare me with his legs. And when you watch people that listen to our show, if you have NFL Plus and it actually fucking works for once, watch the all 22 of the Packers when they're on defense. The middle of the field is always wide open. In fact, go back and watch the Vikings game, that Jaren Hall duck, that kickoff that he threw down the middle of the field on like 3rd and 16. Jaren Hall could have ran for 90 yards on that play. There was not a player within the hash marks. He could have run straight up the middle for 25 yards at least. Any thoughts on their offense, Todd?
Wasn't he running his mouth when he left Green Bay?
He was.
But you know, Patrick, you're 31st in the PFF. How's that feel?
Out of 36.
How's that going for you?
Slightly better than our guy, Josh Myers. Worse. Slightly worse than our guy, Josh. On the defensive side of the ball, Jalen Johnson out of Utah, really good player. Montez Sweat, TJ Edwards, those are the guys you look for. Jaquan Brisker, is he a second-year player? Peter Jaquan Brisker, the safety. I was really high on him. Peter, who scares us? Who do we worry about of those guys on the defensive side of the ball wrecking the Packers game plan?
I guess the guy that you started with, Montez Sweat, that's the guy that you would expect. If anybody's going to get persistent or consistent pressure on Jordan Love, you would expect it to be Montez Sweat. I think the thing that I think that they're really good against the run. If this is a game where the Packers start to move the ball on the ground, I think the Packers will pick them apart because I think they'll move it on the ground and through the air. So I think we're going to see early whether or not Aaron Jones can get going like he did last week. Yeah, I mean, the linebackers you mentioned are good. TJ Edwards in particular, really, really good player, both against the run and in pass coverage. So yeah, they've got good players across the board. You mentioned Jalen Johnson, maybe the number one corner in the league, is right up there. So they've got good players across the defense, and that's why the defense is the strength of this team.
Now, against the Packers, Danielle Hunter was playing in different spots. Would they do that with Montez Sweat? He feels like a hand in the ground. This is where I play defensive end. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, and I think that, may line him up on both sides. But I think Zach Tom, Rasheed Walker, who's played, really well second half of this season, I think they should be able to deal with that.
Todd, I know you said last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that Tucker Kraft was the most improved player on the offensive side of the ball. No arguments there. What about Rasheed Humper Walker? Yeah. Left tackle Rasheed Walker, who was awful in the beginning.
He was having a rough go at it earlier in the season. That's for sure. And then I think I was bringing Nyman. And then when they brought in Nyman, it was like,
he sucked.
Okay, this isn't any better. And then I think, but he has played. Yeah, that's a great, man, that would be tough. I think both of them would be in the running for me.
He has improved. I'll say that for sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then,
that would help us in the draft.
Don't have to pick a left tackle right away, if you think he's the guy.
Yeah, you got to be damn sure. And there's always, what's up with Bakhtiari?
I mean, 6 weeks ago, when we talked about stuff like this, I would have said, if you're in the top 10, you absolutely pick a left tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not a terrible idea anyway, but the need is not as great in weeks 18 as it was in week 5 or 6. Rasheed Walker might be serviceable, and I never thought I would have said that.
Same.
We'll take it. Okay, so Peter, on to the defensive rankings. The Packers have improved, Peter. They've moved from now granted it was against fourth string quarterback or whatever we're calling Jaren Hall / Nick Mullins, but they've moved from 23rd to 21st, but they are 28th against the run. Their offense is 13th. This is a little bit strange to me. They're 13th overall. The Packers are 13th overall on offense. They are 17th in passing and 15th in running. Does that seem odd to you? Because it certainly does.
No, it's an oddity, but it's not a statistical
impossibility.
Oddity, because it just means that the teams above them in one of those things are terrible at the other, and vice versa.
And where the Packers are a little bit more balanced.
Yeah.
Packers are 21st overall, 11th against the pass, because why would you throw the ball against the Packers when you can run all over them if they're 28th? The Bears are 17th overall in offense, 27th in the pass, but second in the league in run. Bears are 12th overall in defense, 21st against the pass, and the first, they are the best team against the run. The Packers can run the football. They're going to roll like they did last week.
Get Jones going early. Open things up.
I absolutely agree. And I think the Packers offense, I mean, it would be interesting to kind of get the yards per game after 6 or 7 games and then compare it to now, because you get the feeling that this Packers offense has got better, 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 incrementally better week on week on week up to last week's performance, which was probably the best offensive performance of the season. You know, if this was the last 5 games or whatever, they'd be higher than 13th. I think when you look at those numbers, the thing that stands out to me is the Bears' second-ranked rushing offense, when it's Justin Fields that's leading the Bears in rushing with over 600 yards. But then you look at each of the other backs, and you mentioned Herbert's got over 500 yards, and Rashawn Johnson's got, I don't know how many, but they've got like 500 and 400 and 300, and Fields has got 600. So they've spread those yards out. And I think, I think it's the Fields running ability that's the X factor in this game.
So here we go. The Packers are 3-point favorites at home in a crucial position. Crucial game for the Packers. The over-under is 44. Again, the Packers are 3-point favorites. The over-under is 44. Peter, it's your turn.
I'm saying this with no great certainty. I believe the Packers will pull this game out. I think it will be very close. I don't know what the weather forecast is, in particular, what the wind is likely to be, because I think the Packers, yes, they want to run the ball, but I think the Packers' edge in the passing game, you don't want that to be nullified by the bad weather. Nonetheless, like I say, I think the Packers will pull this game out 23-20.
The Green Bay forecast is a high of 28. Partly sunny and a high of 28. It does not show me the wind that far in advance, but it was supposed to be in the high 30s. That's what it said last week. The temperature has dipped for Sunday.
It will be cold for those people that are making the trip to that game and yes, sitting there on the bleachers and
freezing our balls
late
off
in the afternoon.
I shouldn't put this in the podcast, but I'm going to say it. So my daughter got me the tickets. I already said that. She comes home and she's got this look on her face. She's like, guess who's going to also be at the game and be in the same section as us? My ex-wife, her mother. How is that possible?
Do you remember back when I was saying not to go to Bear games? This might be one for you.
My daughter bought me these tickets. I am absolutely going
that
to
would be
game.
The only reason in this scenario. If she doesn't buy you those tickets and it's not, wow. You're a good dad.
We're in the same
basic. You get dad of the fucking year award right after the game. That's what you get.
She's close to this. She's close to us, too. That's going to be fucking awesome. Can't wait. I'm going to put my hood up and look straight ahead.
She's not sitting in front of you, is she? Are you sitting in front of her?
I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not sitting in front of her, Peter, because then I'm definitely wearing the hood the whole time because she'll be dumping a beer down my back on accident. Like the first 4 seconds of the game, I'm going to get a 32-ounce beer dumped on my back. I still might get that anyway.
Did she buy her mom tickets too?
No.
This was just coincidence?
Yes.
You got to be shitting me.
I said the same words in my head when she told me that. Good times. Guess I'll be pre-gaming like a motherfucker in the parking lot for this one.
Oh, God, yes.
It's going to be.
Oh, God, yes. Blackout. I would go full blackout.
Full on blackout?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Where were we? It's my turn. The Packers go over this game and they win it 27-21.
Packers cover. And I would take the under for a score. I think it's going to be more of like a 28-7.
Really? Not going to be close.
Yeah. They've got the momentum. I mean, everything, if they can just continue this, who knows? I think good things could happen. They're going to be going all out. I mean, this is all in. The Bears have less to play for. They're going to stay on point, keep the momentum going, and blow these fuckers back south.
If I'd only listened to the start of the last podcast and the end of this podcast and nothing in between, I'd be thinking Todd's thinking Super Bowl.
I think they can get past the first round if they keep playing the way they are. I think they could do something. I do.
And that first round game,
yes, they were the Vikings. I get it, right. But they executed flawlessly. So they have the potential to play at that level. Yeah, the offense does. Yeah, and then there's, you throw your hands up with the defense, like hope we just can throw up 30 plus and have a chance. So
let's talk about that next week.
You got it.
So thanks for listening to episode 156 of the Average Cheese Podcast.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Go.